Norton Rainey, Wednesday, July 14th, 2010.
Let's turn to John 10:28. Last time we asked the question, can a Christian lose his or her salvation? I want to continue that study, and I want to ask another question tonight. Is it important to know the answer to this question? Because I talk to people that say it's not. Tonight we're going to examine this question of can a Christian lose his salvation from three aspects: from a works righteousness aspect, from the book of Galatians, and from the life of Abraham. But as a foundational backdrop, in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And none is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Last time we talked about eternal life. What does eternal life mean? He didn't say I give unto them probational life. He didn't say I give unto them conditional life. He didn't say I give unto them temporary life. He didn't say I give unto them eternal damnation. He said eternal life. And one of the definitions of eternal we find in our text here in verse 28, shall never perish. That's a pretty good definition of eternal. Shall never perish. So you cannot take yourself out of the Father's hand. You can't take yourself out of the hand of Jesus. And we examined that we have eternal life in the Son, those that believe in Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 6. Another very clear passage. 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all, notice all, A-L-L, he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, and notice, watch this, believes in him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But notice, all that come to Christ, all that believe in him, all that are born again, he says he will lose none, no believers. So let's pick up the study, can a Christian lose his or her salvation? What about the issue of works? I think works is the biggest obstacle and hindrance to people believing in this doctrine, to the doctrine of once saved, always saved, eternal security. So let's prove from the scriptures that our salvation is not by works. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Paul dealt with these Galatians because they had lapsed back into a works righteousness. In 3:2-3, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The Judaizers had come in after the Apostle Paul, and they had put the Galatians back under works, under the law of Moses. The law is works. The law is something we do or we don't do. The law is performance. And Paul rebuked those believers for departing from his message of grace. This works righteousness, he said, was foolishness. And Paul said those who preached another gospel, he said, let them be accursed in Galatians 1:9. That's pretty strong language, let them be accursed. These are clear words to communicate Paul's displeasure with those false teachers that had come in and those legalists that had come in that had put God's people under a yoke of bondage. Let's turn to 5:1. A yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage was the law. It was works righteousness. In the NIV and the Revised Standard, it says a yoke of slavery. And in the Living Bible, it says slavery to Jewish laws. Works righteousness for salvation is a yoke of bondage. Knowing this, let's go to Galatians 2:16. This may be one of the very clearest passages in the Word of God to show that we are not saved by works. 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and notice, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. How could anything be more clear? How could you communicate it more clearly? It's all by faith in Christ and not by works. It's so very clear. We did not merit eternal life, and we cannot demerit eternal life. Believers have everlasting life, not by works of righteousness. Believers cannot secure everlasting life through good works. The redeemed are secure by faith. We have security. The security of the believer is based on faith alone. We read that in Galatians 3:11. So we need to thank God for the assurance for our salvation. There is security for the child of God. And there's more. As we stated previously, obscure passages must be interpreted in the light of plain passages. That was D.L. Moody's rule. We need to interpret obscure passages in the light of clear passages and not the other way around. If a person could do anything or perform in a certain way to keep saved, then he would be kept by works. What we would do or not do would be the basis for our initial salvation and for continuing salvation. If we did nothing to earn our salvation, how can we maintain or earn a salvation going forward? If a born-again believer could be lost by doing or not doing anything, that would be a basis for boasting about retention of your salvation by the works that you did. But how can we complete what we did not start? Wouldn't that be saying our eternal life would be incomplete? It would be insufficient? We need to agree with God's word that eternal life is eternal through Jesus and the work that he did at Calvary. David Franklin talked a lot about that when he was here. Can you lose your salvation because of your works? The Bible does not teach a works righteousness for salvation, nor retention of salvation by works. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, a very popular scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. If I told you you could trim your right thumbnail and go to heaven, and you trimmed your right thumbnail and went to heaven, you would boast about what you did to get to heaven. Our salvation's a gift, and it's not of our own doing or works. There are the ordained works of God that he's ordered that we should walk in them, and we read about those in verse 10 here. But those works have to do with rewards. You remember Jesus said in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly to give to every man his reward according to his works." In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read about our foundation is Christ Jesus. Upon that foundation, we can build with two kinds of materials, wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. It's the gold, silver, and precious stones that will last, and that has to do with our inheritance. That has to do with rewards. So we're to live by faith. Faith excludes works for the keeping of one's salvation. If there's anything we could do to add to our salvation or make it more certain, then the finished work of Christ on the cross would not be finished. If there's anything we could do to add to his work or take away from his work wouldn't be finished. It'd be incomplete. So may we see that our redemption has nothing at all to do with works or the law or the maintaining of our salvation. Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is our all-sufficiency. We see works do come into play after we're saved, but these works have to do with rewards. Another scripture in Titus 3, 4, and 5. You know, in baseball, they talk about kind of a cleanup hitter, and they put the best hitter in the fourth spot. This is kind of a cleanup passage. I think it communicates it as well as anything we could read. Notice in verses 4 and 5, Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Notice, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Our salvation has nothing at all to do with our works, and maintaining our salvation has nothing to do with our works. Let's go over to the book of Romans. We're going to spend some time in Romans. One more scripture in Romans regarding works, that we aren't saved by works. Romans 3, 27 and 28. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what principle? What law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law, separate from the deeds of the law. Clear? Is that clear enough? Well, let's look at Abraham and his life to prove our point further. Abraham did not have the law of Moses to live by. The law of Moses was given 430 years after Abraham was justified. He didn't have the scout oath and law to live by. He didn't have a code of ethics to live by. Let's look at how he got saved in chapter 4 of Romans, verse 2 and 3. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. It was credited to him under righteousness. So Abraham believed. Abraham had faith. And we read it wasn't, his salvation was not based on works. Verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. It was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law or through works, but through the righteousness of faith. And then in verse 24, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. I repeat, Abraham believed in God. Abraham was saved or justified by his faith and not by his works. He didn't have the law to live by. It was given 430 years after he believed. He didn't have the Ten Commandments to live by. There were no works for him to do or to keep. Now, Paul looks at David. We see Abraham was justified by faith apart from the works of the law. He didn't have the law to live by. But now we look at a man who was under the law, David, in verse 6. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, separate from works. So we're looking at Abraham, who didn't have the law. He was justified by faith. Now we're looking at David, who was under the law. How was he justified? By faith, the same way that Abraham was. How was righteousness imputed? Without works, apart from works. What does apart and without mean? Just what it says. So David, under the law, was justified by faith, just like Abraham, who was not under the law. Are we under the law today? Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believes. But remember, the law never justified anybody. The law never promised eternal life. The law never promised salvation, then or now. Abraham and David were justified the same way, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus is our salvation. The person of Jesus is our salvation. Through him we are saved, once and for all. So clearly the word declares we are not saved by works. And Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. Let's go to Romans 11:6. Let's contrast works and grace, or works and faith. 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it be of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Works and grace are opposites. We read in Galatians, the law is not of faith. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We read another scripture that shows that we are saved once and for all. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who have put their faith in Christ. If we aren't condemned, how can we lose our salvation? We can know that we have eternal life. And then a scripture that I won't have you turn over there, but it's in 1 John 5:13. Listen to this closely. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So what's the basis for eternal life? Believe in the Son of God. Nothing less, nothing more, and there's no condemnation. So based on these and a multitude of other verses we could point to, we see that we have assurance once and for all. And security produces maturity. Believers can grow and mature because we know that we're secure. We can't grow in legality. And I want to read something from the Amplified Bible about how God will never leave us. It just puts a smile on my face when I read it from the Amplified. He, God, himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without any support. And this is in the Amplified. I'm going to read it. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. And in parentheses, it has relaxed my hold on you. Assuredly not. I like that. I think it communicates what we're trying to say. Let us fully embrace the doctrine of the security of the believer. May we live a spiritual life and not a carnal life. May we grow in grace that encompasses this teaching of our security in Christ. Believers need to know, based on the scriptures, we cannot lose our salvation. And this knowledge is key for maturity. So why? Why do we cling to a doctrine the Word of God doesn't teach? Why cling to a false doctrine that a believer can lose his or her salvation? Why cling to the law which condemns and produces death? 1 Corinthians 3:7-9. Why cling to the law or the letter of the law which kills? 1 Corinthians 3:6. Now's the accepted time to accept the completed work of Jesus at the cross. For he says, I in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. So we need to turn away from man's wisdom. We need to turn away from false doctrine. In summary, why is this doctrine important? Because I talk to people that say, well, it's not important. If you're saved, you're saved. If you aren't, you aren't. It's just not a big deal, and we can't really know. Well, why is it important? Number one, security is foundational. It is basic. Number two, because there is a simplicity to the Word of God. We read that we are not to be led astray from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus, from the single-mindedness that's in Christ Jesus. Number three, not losing one's salvation agrees with the finished work at Calvary. It agrees with once saved, always saved. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Number four, it's important for health and growth, soundness of mind. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You aren't going to have a sound mind unless you understand you're secure. Number five, it's important to understand all the other doctrines of the Bible. The grace of God. Identification in Christ. Standing in state. The two natures, the two realms, and I could name all the other doctrines. It's important to know that, because you're always going to be concerned about your salvation if you think you can lose it. Number six, without this correct, proper doctrine, there's no vision. There's no vision to run the race, to win the prize, to finish the course with joy. You'd always be striving for rest and peace and contentment and salvation. And how sad it is that people are doing that when it's already been made perfect for us. So, if the Word of God declares we are secure and safe and we cannot be lost, regeneration cannot be reversed, we can't be thrown out of the family of God, we can't be separated from His love, He will never leave us, cannot be snatched out of the Father's hand, the Son's hand, and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. If the Bible teaches we pass from death to life, and it does, and we cannot be unborn out of the family of God, we are not condemned, we've been made perfect, we've been translated from darkness to light, He will lose nothing. Believers will not see His wrath. Doesn't make a difference whether we believe we cannot lose our salvation. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. If you do not believe that you can't lose your salvation, then you're believing another gospel. And that's a serious matter. Peter said to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're distorting the grace of God if you don't believe this. You're lacking knowledge. You're distorting the knowledge that's been given to us through the Word of God. It does make a difference. C.S. Lewis, he talked about you can believe in Lord, liar, or lunatic, but don't give me this hogwash about another good teacher, another good moral man. He said you can say Jesus is a demon from hell. You can spit on Him. You can say all of those things, but don't just say He's another good teacher. Well, Justin, regarding our salvation, do not say the foolish thing. It doesn't matter, and it's not important. You can't have it both ways. You could either lose your salvation or you can't. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Comforter will lead you into all truth. I think He meant what He said. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go back to Galatians. We're going to look at verse 1. Galatians 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He says they were foolish to be under the law, to think that they could keep the law of Moses, that somehow they could keep their salvation or maintain their salvation through their good works. He said they were bewitched. And in verse 2 there, he says that they're not saved by works. He said, you're saved by faith. And in verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Let's not be bewitched or be foolish. Let's don't embrace a different gospel. Let's just accept the gospel of grace in these clear scriptures. The word bewitched has an interesting meaning. It means to fascinate by false representations, to enchant, to charm, to please to such a degree as to take away the power of resistance. Another translation where it says, oh foolish Galatians, it's oh thoughtless Galatians. If you're here and you believe you can lose your salvation, you've lapsed into works and you're being bewitched. And you are believing a lie of the enemy. Don't be foolish. Don't be bewitched. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.